You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with writer-director Catherine Reinhardt. Catherine's latest film is called Brand New Old Love and tells the story of a young couple that promise at a young age that they will get married at 30 if they haven't found someone by then. But when they meet up again when they're older, will it work out? We get to talk to Catherine about how the romantic comedy has changed over the years, why Disney fairy tales feel like a lie, and what defines love. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish.
Hi, Steve. How's it going?
Good. Catherine, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on, taking the time to talk.
Oh, thanks very much for chatting with me. This is great. Now, Brand New Old Love is on video on demand on the 28th?
Yes.
You've talked before about the film. You talked about it being influenced by the lies of Disney fairy tales. I was wondering, why do you think that that was an influence on, when you're writing the film?
Because I enjoyed those growing up, and I feel like the Disney fairy tales kind of beget the rom-com. Like it's kind of the same audience, just a different age. And so I grew up watching the fairy tales and like, that's going to happen to me one day. And then started watching like romantic movies and like Hollywood movies and rom-coms and like, that's going to happen to me one day. And then like, you know, getting a little older and being like, wait a second, that's not reality. Like you don't meet someone and then have one fight, you know, with the into the second act, into the third act, and then a resolution, and then the credits roll on the wedding day. That's really fun to watch, and I enjoy watching them, but I just kind of felt like I like watching those movies, but I wanted a little more reality injected into them, and so I decided to make a movie that I would want to watch, and not like a really cerebral, artsy film, just the kind of movie that after I get off work on a weekday and come home and want to have a glass of wine or a beer, I want to watch something that's enjoyable but doesn't, like, not so much lie to me, but it's like just, I just thought it'd be fun to see. I think millennials especially are, I mean, maybe every generation, you know, we're people are quite, they watch these things and they question it, but are like, oh, maybe one day that'll happen to me. And I just thought it'd be fun to make that kind of movie, play with the Hollywood trope, but just make it a little less like insulting to my intelligence.
Sure.
Or just a little more like, I just like to say, just a little more honesty injected into it, but still stay in that vein.
Right, right. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about Brand New Old Love and how that film responds to that, because I think you're right. That certainly things have changed. And how does that film sort of respond to those tropes that you've seen, we grew up with?
Right. Well, there's kind of two ways. I think I took a Hollywood trope that if Hollywood's going to make that, I think a lot of people do the like, if we're still single by the time we're 30, we'll marry each other. Common thing that people do when they're younger, and I could see Hollywood making that as a romantic comedy. They would make that and it would play out the same way most romantic comedies play out, and everything would just be beautiful and wonderful, and there wouldn't be a lot of conflict, and they would get married and everything would be great. And again, the credits would probably roll on the wedding day, and I wanted the wedding to happen in the first part of the film and then explore the reality of actually like day one, oh, here's our marriage now. Cause I feel like you don't see that much in those kinds of movies. And that's, you know, I just got married and it's amazing, but every day isn't a love story. We fight over taking out the trash and doing the dishes and things like that. And it's fine. But like, you know, I just want to show people that a little bit of that is well in films, to not like give people these unrealistic expectations of what of marriage is.
And it's interesting because Charlie and Hannah in the film are, they're obviously the focus. It's more about them, but there are a lot of different relationships that seem to explore the nature of love in this film. Everybody seems to have their own sort of take and relationship drama, if you will, a little bit here and there. Is there a particular aspect or message about love that you would like to communicate through a film like this, or is it just sort of a general exploration?
I think I want to communicate that it requires effort. It's not a fantasy, and I didn't want to feed a fantasy. I think you can have an incredible, loving, happy relationship, but it does take real communication and real effort, and you can't be lazy, and you have to do it every day. And I mean, I'm not the person to give, I mean, as far as I know, but I, like I said, I just got married. I could maybe give advice to someone who's been married for 2 weeks. But my parents have a great relationship, and they've been married for 45 years. And,
wow.
But so I got to see that, and it's wonderful to have like a teammate and a partner. And I think that human beings thrive very well that way if you have someone who has your back. And but it doesn't happen naturally. You can't spot someone from across the room and make eyes at them and fall in love and get married and then everything's perfect. You have to, like I said, every day can't be a love story, and that's okay. It's okay to argue about whose turn it is to take out the trash.
Right.
You say communicating with each other and work at it.
Yeah, it's true.
It seems like it's like a muscle.
That's interesting you say that. What do you mean?
Like your brain is a muscle if you don't. And
right.
So is your, obviously your muscles, like they atrophy if you don't work at them. And I think it's very easy to get in a rut in a relationship. It's definitely happened to me with relationships where I would take advantage, take them for granted. On and be like, oh, I'll engage in this relationship on Saturday. That's when we'll do something. But the days in between, not lean in and not engage and not be a good partner. Mm. And I think it can atrophy.
I have to admit that the premise of the film was appealing to me because I had a backup and I had a backup for the backup. And it made me mad when my backup's backup had a backup. there seemed to be deals going on. You're right. It seems to be something that everybody has. Why do we play this game? Why do we set ourselves up like that?
I think it's two reasons. And I think a lot of it is because we're kind of like subtly or not so subtly fed these messages through like the entertainment and media that we watch. But one is like the fear of being alone.
Hmm.
It's like, oh, that, it's for some reason in our head, it's better to be with this like person who we get along with than to be alone, which I don't think I agree with. But then there's also this like kind of fantastical idea of, wouldn't this make the greatest story? Like, what a fun love story that we were friends when we were younger, and then we didn't think we could be together now, but we decided that if we're older, so single, we'll get together. And then it's like this, in our head, it's this fun, like Hollywood romantic, like fantasy story.
Hmm.
How fun would that be to get married and have kids and be like, we were friends when we were younger. We said we'd get together if we were older, and then it worked out, and now we're in love. I think it scratches that itch of like, I want that Hollywood story.
Hmm. You described it as having a millennial edge to the romantic comedy. I was wondering how you think the genre has changed over the years, because, rom-coms do look different than they did 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Is there something that is different about them today?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't see as many of them.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I was just reading an article last week about how it was kind of Katherine Heigl, romantic comedies, Helen Hunt, Julia Roberts, that we had throughout the 90s aren't really being made as much, but Netflix is coming in and putting out some just kind of classic romantic comedies. I think that, but you know, Crazy Rich Asians just came out and it's crushing it. And I, yeah. It looks like a really cute, I haven't had a chance to watch it yet because I just got back for my honeymoon, but I plan to see it this weekend. And it looks like a great film. I think from what I can tell, the way that the romantic comedy has changed is hopefully to make the female character less of a stereotype or like a trope. And it's always fun to see the male want to commit as well. Like,
yeah.
It was always kind of this, you know, it's just the woman who wants the commitment. The man doesn't, and she's kind of nagging and doesn't have her own career. This is the only thing that she wants with her life. And just giving a little more dimension to the female character in general in films is slowly, slowly changing. And I actually worried about that a lot, to be honest. When I wrote it, and then, like, afterwards, I was like, is this, like, a bad film? Am I a bad feminist? Or, like, does my female character, does she have enough going on? And I hope that she does, but I was trying to write a classic romantic comedy, and I wonder if, like, my influences of seeing these, I don't know, I'm not sure if I might have not done the best job just because I was so influenced by these classic films.
I didn't get that impression. I thought they were, you know.
Okay, yeah. Great.
I thought they were both strong characters and both flawed characters at the same time. That's how I felt.
Okay, but I did worry about that. Like,
yeah.
Are the women, like, do they have enough dimension? But I see that more. There's not. Mm. There's less of the characters in romantic comedies now are a little more fleshed out and a little more believable. And I think that will continue to happen.
And by the way, when you said you just got married, I thought you meant you just got married when you started writing it. I didn't realize you're coming back from your honeymoon. Congratulations.
I've been married for like 3 weeks.
Oh, well, there you go.
28th of July.
Would you go back and make changes now that you have been married for 3 weeks to the script?
That's a great. I don't want to look back and make changes, but I do. I do want to make something else. Like, the whole like process of having a wedding seems like that was really interesting to me. My husband and I paid for it ourselves. My parents didn't help, and that was like a really interesting. The whole, you kind of get lost in the planning, and that whole industry seems like a little bit of a scam, or like the expectations are pretty ridiculous for the things that you're supposed to do and have. And, but then also, yes, now we're married and like, what does that look like now that we're like, what's different? And so there's just always things that I'm paying attention to and writing down and that I'm sure. And I love discussing with other people and having these shared experiences. And that's the most, like, really everything I make, I want people, I'm hoping that it strikes a chord with someone else. And because that's what's so fun about comedy, stand-up comedy, and, like, comedy films, I think, is when people watch it and they're like, that's me too. Like, that's a shared experience.
I was wondering about, since you wrote and directed this, how do you know when you've got that great story, and is there one you prefer?
Oh, that's a good question. Probably, I think I prefer writing. There's less pressure in writing. There's no, if you're writing for yourself.
Right.
Deadline, you have time, you can make mistakes, and you're in the comfort of your own home. Directing, you're on stage in a way. People are watching you, and you have to look like you know what you're doing. Even if in the moment you don't, you have to make a lot of decisions. No matter, I mean, we did like a long pre-production process, and it was, worked for months. By the time I got to set on day one, I felt like I had already made the movie because of all the pre-production, but there's still decisions that you have to make on the fly. And if you hesitate, it looks like you don't know what you're doing. And this was my first time directing a narrative feature and working with, I've directed smaller things, but never with actors that were of this caliber. So
yeah.
to be honest, I was terrified at first that they would see through me or think that I didn't know what I was doing or was some sort of fraud. There's just all these fears that, like, insecurities and inadequacies that, like, creep up. And especially, like, when we first started. And it was an amazing experience. And it was a really positive film set. And we had a great time. But I was still very nervous at first. So there's just, it's really putting yourself out there versus, and hopefully in your writing, like, hopefully in what I wrote, I put myself out there somewhat, but there's still just so much safety when you're just, like, in your room, in your apartment. You can't really make any mistakes in front of people at that point.
Right. Like you said, you're writing for yourself at that point.
Yeah. And then when people start to say, okay, let's make this movie, the pressure's on. And, but it's an incredible experience. It's very rewarding. And, but if I had to choose, I think I would write, but I would have a hard time handing off something I wrote to someone else. I'd have to really trust them.
Yeah, that's interesting, because that you've created this and putting it in the hands of someone else would be a huge challenge.
Especially if you have writers. I mean, writers, they sell their scripts and someone takes it and they end up making a lot of times a completely different film. Which was within their right because they purchased the script, but they don't bring the writers onto set. They don't consult them anymore. They buy it and then they're out of the picture.
Right.
They don't really. So that's very scary to think. And I'm sure most of the time it's just so thrilling to have your project made. But I know that American Beauty was an example of a film that I remember hearing that was such an incredible film. And I never read the script, but apparently the finished product is very different from the screenplay. And I believe the writer wasn't thrilled about that, but it's been a long time since I've heard that anecdote, so might be a little rusty with the details.
Right.
Stuck out to me.
Right. Well, Catherine, thank you so much for chatting with me. This is great. Brand New Old Love on video on demand on Tuesday, August 28th. And really appreciate the chance to chat with you. It's a fun film.
Yes, thank you so much, Steve. I appreciate it, too. This has been great. I just had some coffee, so sorry for talking so quickly. But
No, it was fantastic. Fantastic.
This has been wonderful. Thank you so much. Yeah. I really appreciate you taking the time to chat.
No problem. Thank you. And have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Thanks.